I'm reading from the 145th Psalm. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works. I want to emphasize the line that says, men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts. A young boy was visiting the family of his friend, and he was asked to stay for dinner. And it just happened that night that the wife and mother of that home made one of his favorite desserts, which happened to be German chocolate cake. And after the meal had been eaten and the dessert was placed before each of the people, he took a big bite of it. And she said, "What did you think of the German chocolate cake?" And he said, "It was awesome." The basketball fan went to a UK game. And when it was over, a buddy said, "What'd you think of that game?" And he said, "It was awesome." The woman went to a new hairdresser. And her friend asked her, "What'd you think of the new hairdresser?" She said, "It was awesome." We use the word awesome in a lot of different settings, don't we? But I'm wondering if a cake or a game or a hairdresser, I'm wondering if they are awesome, what word we'd use to describe the Grand Canyon? Or what word would we use to describe God? The psalmist used the word awesome, and you know, the longer I live, the more I'm convinced that probably we would do well to reserve the word awesome for God in the things of God, because God really is awesome. And why is he awesome? The psalmist says he's awesome because of his mighty works in creating the world, in blessing his people. And when we look at the heavens and we understand that the heavens declare the glory of God, now that is awesome. But God is also awesome because he forgives our sin. And one of the things that we read in Psalm 145 is that God is compassionate. He's compassionate towards sinners. And he not only wants to forgive us, but he is anxious to forgive. He wants to forgive. He longs to forgive. And when we understand that he is absolute holiness, and he wants to forgive sinners, now that's something that's really awesome. And then there was a time when God laid out his purpose. And his purpose was to make a world and to make human beings, knowing full well that as human beings we would have the power of choice, and therefore we would use our ability to choose to make wrong choices, and that we would sin. And in his purpose, God said this, in effect, I want to become one of them. And God came into the world in flesh. God came as a human being. And becoming one of us, he lived as none of us have ever lived. And then he died as no one had ever died. And he bore the sin of the world. And when God became a man, that's awesome. And God is awesome because he trusts us. And that's amazing to me, that God trusts us. One day, according to the book of Job, the servants of God came into his presence and Satan was among them. And God asked him what he'd been doing. He said he'd been going to and fro in the earth. And God said, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him? And Satan said, why, of course he serves you because you've blessed him. He has wealth and he has a large family and things are going his way. You take those away from him and he'll curse you to your face. And God trusted Job. And he put his own integrity on the line. Because in the experience of Job, it was going to be shown whether or not God would keep his word to his servant. And God permitted Satan to touch him. And he lost everything he had. He lost his wealth. He lost his children. And finally, he lost his health. And Job didn't understand why all that was happening to him. And in the book of Job, it's almost as though Job says, God, you sure have made it hard for me to believe in you. You've let me lose everything that I have. And now my wife has said, why don't you curse God and die? It's almost as though God answers him by saying, Job, you've made it easy for me to believe in you. And God blessed him abundantly, and God's integrity stood fast. He trusted Job, and Job was faithful. Now that is awesome. When God will trust us. And he does, you know, because he has put in our hands the greatest work that the world has ever known. He's given us the church. He's given us the gospel. And he trusts us to be the church. And he trusts us to take the gospel to the world. That's awesome. And then while Jesus was here, he not only prayed a lot himself, but he taught his disciples to pray. And he said that men ought always to pray and never give up. And when the children of God pray, when they say, Our Father who art in heaven, the Creator of the universe listens to that prayer. And not only does he hear the prayers of his people, But he answers them in keeping with his will and his sovereignty. And when the child of God kneels in prayer and says, "Our Father," be assured that Satan trembles, because mighty things are wrought by the prayers of God's children. And that, my friends, is awesome. What do you think about it? Do you think that perhaps we ought to reserve the word awesome for God and the things of God? The dictionary defines awesome in this way: reverence, wonder, and even dread. When something or someone is awesome, it causes us to wonder. It causes us to have reverence. And recognizing that we're in the presence of awesomeness, and we see our condition before God, it even causes us dread. And I certainly would not speak down on German chocolate cake. And in this setting, I certainly would not speak down on the Wildcats, or even a hairdresser. But in comparison with him, there is no comparison, for he alone is truly awesome. And our response in the words of the psalmist to the awesome God of majesty, and that's how he describes him, is, "I will praise him because he is worthy." We agree with the psalmist, don't we? God is awesome. And the thought of God fills us with wonder and with reverence and even with dread. But we're grateful that the God that we serve is an awesome God. And our response to him is a response of praise. Tonight we're going to extend the invitation of Christ. If there's anyone present who would like to answer that call, you're invited tonight while we stand and while we sing.